So as I said before, this is a casual atmosphere, and I really mean it. Like, if your kids are getting restless and they get the zoomies and you just stand up and move around, please feel comfortable to do so. I love that we're all in here together. And since we're all in here together, I want to talk about something I know that kids love. Movies from the 1950s. Right? So there's a film called The Boy on a Dolphin that was released in 1957 that starred Alan Ladd and Sophia Loren. And the film's starlet cast a shadow over the leading man because of her 2-inch height advantage. And a short dive into film history would reveal some of the creative solutions they used to even out their height. There were some scenes where Sophia would stand in a boat while he was on a dock. You can see it right here. Other scenes, she would sit in a shorter seat in the foreground to make him appear the similar height. And we do this because we want our leading men to tower over challenges, right? To overwhelm enemies with brute power, to entice beauty with brawn, right? We want our leading men strong. A hero who appears weak is a zero. A dwarf star, well, that's a different thing altogether, actually. But we want our saviors superior and our protagonists perfect. Strong back, defined jawline, able to take anything the world throws at them. In summary, who we wish we could be. Right? Hollywood thrives on the illusion of perfection. Leading men and women should be flawless because we are flawed. They captain the warship while we ride the struggle bus. Bonus points, anybody know this reference? Partridge Family? Yes. You get a prize at Dover Day. It's yet to be determined. Yeah. Sweet, I need you to get some prizes. So in our stories, in our study on the stories of Genesis, we've learned something interesting about the characters we've come to know. They are not perfect. They're flawed. Their integrity flutters and their honesty wavers. And this should be an encouragement to us that God's story is filled with imperfect people. If you've got sermon notes there on the table in the back, we move the coffee back to the kitchen. They're also by the coffee. This is the first highlight in your sermon notes. God's story is filled with imperfect people. His plan is carried out through messy families. You may have a regretful past. It may be filled with shame, but God rules the future. You have burned bridges, but God makes a way. And you may feel like you've wasted years, but time is in His hands. Kids, do you feel like you're too young to be influential? I see some no's. That's really good, because God loves and uses childlike faith. I'm not going to make eye contact with anybody right now, but I'm going to say to the older, to the more experienced, to the seasoned people in the room, if you feel like you're past your prime of effectiveness, the Bible says gray hair is a crown of glory that wields wisdom and influence. Or maybe you're here, you don't believe in God, you've pushed Him away. He believes in you. And He reaches out to you. He invites you to come. Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. So in the last story we looked at, God showed us that He provides what we need in His time. Right? Abraham had to trust God and be willing to sacrifice his beloved son Isaac, and then God provided a ram to be sacrificed in his place, in the same way God provided his son Jesus to be sacrificed in our place of death and to give us life. Today, Isaac is all grown up, and we enter the story with him and his wife Rebecca and their challenge of having a child of their own. So we're in Genesis 25, verse 21. We're going to skip around some between Genesis 25, 27, and 35. Genesis 25, 21. Isaac pleaded with the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was unable to have children. So I want to pause right here, because this theme has come up in almost every story we've looked at in Genesis. The struggle to have a child and God's presence in it. So my friends, if that is you, I want you to hear this, that in that struggle, God is present. This is a struggle in life that it's really easy to feel isolated and alone. And Christy and I have been there and experienced that. So I just want you to know, if that's where you are not alone. God is with you in that. He is present. Just want to make sure you know that. Back in sports, Genesis 25, 21. Isaac pleaded with the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was unable to have children. The Lord answered Isaac's prayers, and Rebekah became pregnant with twins. But the two children struggled with each other in her womb. So she went to ask the Lord about it. "Why is this happening to me?" she asked. And the Lord told her, "The sons in your womb will become two nations. From the very beginning, the two nations will be rivals. One nation will be stronger than the other, and your older son will serve your younger son." And when the time came to give birth, Rebekah discovered that she did indeed have twins. The first one was very red at birth and covered with thick hair like a fur coat. So they named him Esau. Then the other twin was born with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So they named him Jacob. So the Hebrew meaning of the name Jacob translates as heel holder or layer of snares. This does not mean he was a roadie for a drummer. A layer of snares. Sometimes a joke is intended for a very narrow window of people, but the payoff is so great. So the name Jacob, it's understood as a Hebrew idiom for deceptive behavior. Unfortunately, Jacob lives up to his name. Jacob schemed for his brother's rights and blessings. Later in the story, he will dupe his brother out of his right as the firstborn for a bowl of stew, taking advantage of his brother's hunger and impatience. He would trick his father Isaac into giving him Esau's blessings. And this wasn't just a simple operation. It involved an intricate meal and stealing Esau's clothes, covering Jacob's smooth skin in literal goat skin, which this guy's not happy about, and lying to his father's face not once, but two times. Jacob destroyed relationships with his immediate family, so he went to live with his uncle, and he deceived him. Jacob's family grew, and he deceived them. He pitted his own kids against each other, replaying scenes from his childhood. And then he ends up in a wrestling match with God. That's not a fair fight because God is everywhere and knows everything. So he's slippery in a wrestling match. Jacob received a souvenir from the match, a lifelong limp. So Jacob hurt people close to him and ended up hurting himself. Not an impressive star for our story, right? Because we want our Savior's superior and our protagonist perfect. But Jacob, the limping deceiver, was neither. Hardly an inspiring lead man. But thankfully for us, God chooses imperfect people. It's the next highlight on your notes. God chooses imperfect people. Before Jacob was born, God told Rebekah, "The sons in your womb will become two nations. From the very beginning, the two nations will be rivals. One nation will be stronger than the other, and your older son will serve your younger son." God chose Jacob, knowing that he would be hurtful and deceitful. God chooses imperfect people. Ephesians 1, 4 and 5, it says, "Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes." God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. God chose us, imperfect people. knowing that we'd be selfish and deceitful and hurtful, God chose us. And we might think that we're great, so we chose God. But this tells us he chose us before he even made the world. Before I tell you a story about our cat, let me say, I'm a dog dude. I didn't want a cat. We needed a cat. We had a choice between rats or a cat. So we became feline friendly. This is our cat, Whiskers. She eats pizza. In the words of Miles Davis, she's a cool cat, man. She turned me into a cat guy. Is my mic feeding back? Is that a little bit? I'll stop whistling. So we had some friends whose house was overflowing with kittens. Could you imagine such a sight? So we went to help them thin the herd. And we were in the market for the meanest kitty, one who could protect our home from garish gophers and sneaky snakes and repugnant rats. They showed us this vicious creature, and we chose Whiskers. We even paid a high price for her, a $25 Starbucks gift card, to express our thanks. But it was a price impossible for a cat to pay. We prepared a place for her in our home and in our family, paid a great price for her, and we chose her. Whiskers thinks she chose us. She would be crazy not to. Her life is great. Warm milk in the morning. She's loved. She's cared for. I'm sorry, she's protected. Why would she not choose us? She thinks she chose us, but we had already chosen her. Romans 9, 10 through 12, it says, when Isaac married Rebekah, she gave birth to twins. But before they were born, before they had done anything, good or bad, she received a message from God. This message shows that God chooses people according to his own purposes. He calls people, but not according to their good or bad works. She was told, your older son will serve your younger son. So God chose us before we did anything good or bad, which means his choosing is based on him, not us. God chose us in his grace. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Receiving something you don't deserve, that's grace. We don't deserve God's forgiveness and love, but he chose us and gives us grace through Jesus. So if you resist God because you are hyper aware of how imperfect you are, he does not resist you. God pursued it. He sent Jesus to redeem our selfishness and our deceit in the way we would hurt other people and even hurt ourselves. Your choices lead deeper into shame and disappointment, but Jesus offers a new way forward. He paved the path and invites you to follow him regardless of anything good or bad you've done. In our study of the beginning of the Bible, the book of Genesis, we've been seeing how every story points to Jesus. Today, the story of Jacob points to Jesus, who is God's gift of grace to imperfect people. Bless you. After Jacob's wrestling match with God, he was given a new name. God told him, your name is Jacob, but you will not be called Jacob any longer. From now on, your name will be Israel. So God renamed him Israel. And then God said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. You will become a great nation. God chose Jacob to be great, not by Jacob's abilities, but through El Shaddai, God Almighty, working in him. God's power at work through Jacob would make this happen. So God chooses imperfect people, and then God infuses imperfect people. God chose us, and then when we trust Jesus as our Savior, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. God infuses us with his Spirit. 1 Peter 1, 2, God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and the Spirit has made you holy. Faith in Jesus makes us a new creation, one that is useful and effective for God. And this doesn't happen through our striving, but through the Spirit that God infuses in us. Don't you realize your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you? It was given to you by God. You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. It says your body is a home for the Holy Spirit, and your life is used for God by his purposes. So he chooses imperfect people, infuses us with his Spirit, and then uses imperfect people. God uses imperfect people. And he doesn't shy away from this. The Gospel of Matthew, it opens with Jesus' family history, and it is filled with imperfect people. Right? There are deceivers, lawbreakers, women of ill repute, a pretend woman of ill repute, which I'm not sure is worse, adulterers and murderers. Matthew 1, this is a record of the ancestors of Jesus the Messiah, a descendant of David and of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob, the story we're seeing today. Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. One, two, skip a few generations. Mary gave birth to Jesus, who is called the Messiah. So God used imperfect people to bring about the birth of his perfect, blameless son, Jesus. Messed up people and messy families accomplish God's purposes. Jacob deceived and hurt his family, but God chooses and uses imperfect people. So filmmaking has come a long way. Audiences today can easily join wild adventures and enter exciting new worlds. Cinema creators of the past were able to use simple solutions to hide imperfections because when the audience is engaged in the story, you don't notice imperfections. They're not seen. But God knows our imperfections. But he still chooses us, infuses us with his Spirit, and uses us for his purposes. And by God's grace, our imperfections are hidden in Christ. And God doesn't need you to be perfect to be useful. Your home doesn't have to be spotless to be welcoming. One of the most comforting meals Christy and I have ever experienced was in the middle of a friend's home with cheap pizza and the chaos of their kids' activities. Your bank balance doesn't have to be a certain amount to be generous. You don't need all the time in the world to be patient with your kids. You don't require the corner office to have integrity in your business decisions. You don't need every answer to tell someone what Jesus has done for you. Be available, and God will put you to work. I promise you that. If you pray, God, I'm available, use me, he will put you to work. In his book, The Care of Souls, Harold Sinkbile describes a working sheepdog that wags its tail as it works. He keeps one eye on his master and wags his tail as he works. And you know, when our tail stops wagging and we trudge through life just weary of imperfection, it's probably because we've taken our eye off the master. But we are called to be workers for God, workers who he chooses, who he infuses with his Spirit and he uses for his purpose. So I encourage you to be available. Keep one eye fixed on your master and allow God to use you. Because what a privilege to be in the service of El Shaddai, God Almighty. God, we thank you that you choose imperfect people. And I if we started a club of imperfect people, I would be not just a member, but the president. So God, I thank you that you know us, that you choose us, that you give us your spirit, that you use us for your purposes, not because of us, God, but because of who you are. So we praise you, we thank you, and we ask that you'd help us to be available for you to use. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.